Awesome. Thank you, sir. It's awesome to be here and awesome to be able to speak. Today's parashat is called Shoftim. And so I want to share a little bit about that. Shoftim is the Hebrew word for judges. And here's how it begins in English. Verse 18 of Deuteronomy 16. Judges and officers, you are to appoint within all your gates that Adonai your Elohim is giving you, according to your tribes, and they are to judge the people with righteous judgment. You are not to twist justice. You must not show partiality or take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and distorts the words of the righteous. Wow, we ought to be saying this to our country. Justice, you must pursue so that you may live and possess the land that Adonai your Elohim is giving you. Deuteronomy 16, 18 through 20, the beginning of our parashat. This week's parashat is called Shoftim because the first unique word in the Hebrew is Shoftim, judges, and derives, as all parashiot do, they derive their name, the name of the parashat. It's the very first word that is unique. So it's not an article. It can't be an article. And it can't be anything like that. It has to be a noun or a verb. Okay? So the first noun or verb that is in the line, that becomes the name. So the name of the book of Genesis is Bereshit, because the first word is Bereshit, which means in the beginning. How about that? The second word for the book of Exodus, as we know it, is Shemot, Ha'ele Shemot. See, Ha'ele is a conjunction, an adverb. So these are, so that's not unique. These and these is a lot. The R is understood, it's not there. Ha'ele Shemot. So the first word that is unique is Shemot, which is plural for Shem, not for Shema, for Shem. Okay, Shemot is, these are the names. So that's the name of the book in Hebrew. Each reading then takes its beginning, its name, from the first word. When we're looking for it in the Torah, which doesn't have any numbers, it doesn't have any chapter numbers, it doesn't have any verse numbers, it's just one big old thing, right? And so what we have to do when we're opening the Torah to read it is to find that word. To find the word. And so when it's found in the Baal Koreh, which currently the ones that have been helping me have been TJ and Sean, they have to actually then find the word, and then they look at the reading in a book and make sure that it reads the same. You know, because maybe there's another word like that. And so you can't take a chance. And so you read the first line or so, at least Baal Koreh does, and understands, makes sure that that is really it. And then they mark it. They take their talit, or they take the garment, or they take the yad and mark it and hold it right there. Usually the Baal Koreh will hold the yad right at the word, so that when the reader comes up, the person's been called to read, then they don't have to do that exercise. It's been done already by people who are skilled in that area. And it's presented to them. So they come. If it's a male, which is usually the case, it's a male, he comes with his talit. And the yad is pointing to the word. And he takes the talit and touches it touches that. It's not just to touch it to be, he touches it and to make sure that he's got it, right? So that he now has it, touches it and says, amen, amen. And then he starts reading or he starts chanting. That's how it's supposed to go. This particular beginning of this parasha, which is in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18, is preceded by Deuteronomy chapter 16, 1 through 15. Makes sense, right? So that is actually turns out to be a very powerful and important section. That section that precedes the beginning of our parasha is called the Harvest Festivals in the titles that they put on the Bible. The Harvest Festivals. And let me read the concluding two verses, which would be the maftir. That's called the concluding verses, called the maftir. And the person who would be chanting the Torah the previous week, if it's a bar or bat mitzvah, that's typically what they would read. It's called the maftir. It's the last two or three verses. This is part of the maftir for the previous parashat, if someone was reading it. I think it's valuable to read it. Because it says, three times a year, so 1616. Can you remember that? Yes, it's a really good one. 1616. It's like, I mean, you got to put that in. And if you're a male, you better put it in. Just saying, huh? And speaking to the males. You ladies can go along if you want to. I'm speaking to all the males. Three times a year shall all your males. So, ladies, you're someone exempt from that. You go like, well, why would I be exempt? Well, let me say hi to someone who would be exempt. Hello. She's come back. She's come back to visit us after graduating. You may recall that she was with child. Now, here's the baby. I want to thank the Lord for your courage. I want to thank the Lord because she was abandoned. As soon as the male knew that there was a child, he abandoned her. And the pressure of the society, the pressure on her, the pressure all around this city, the pressure at the University of Florida was for her to do away with the child. I want you to show your baby again because he's beautiful. Yeah. It would have been so easy in our city at the University of Florida in our blue, extremely blue area to just not do it. If you were around her much before she left, she was very brave. There wasn't anything an ounce of a wimp. No wimp. There's no wimp in her. There's no wimp in that baby. And in fact, she had a really good attitude about the fact that she was with child and she was going to go home and share it with her family. And I'm so glad that you came to share with us. And so good to see you. You are a heroine. And we honor you. And we honor your child. And may you wouldn't have that. You know, it would have been easy. It would have been whatever everybody wanted. But here you are, a a single mom already. She was dancing with her baby. She was dancing all the dances that she learned. She danced the ones she knew here, and she was dancing in the back. The baby was inside having a good time. He was riding the rides of his life with mom. As she was dancing for what Marilyn called for, a warfare dance on behalf of our people, on behalf of the leaders of our the country of Israel, in behalf of the leaders of and future leaders of ours, because it's going to take the same kind of chutzpah that she had to go ahead and do the right thing. It's going to take chutzpah for us too. I pray that you will. This is a great parashah for me to begin this process of reminding us that we've got to be strong. Reminding us that we have some things to do. Reminding us that this is not about personalities. It's about the issues, right? Always supposed to be the issues, and somebody said, well, I just don't like the way that person looks. You know, I don't like this or I don't like that about the person. So they might be enamored with someone from a party, even a lady who dresses pretty and all those things, a beautiful black lady. But the words are empty. The words are empty. The party is empty. They don't have any platform to speak of when it comes to believers. As a matter of fact, they've already made noises for the last year that when they take power this time, they want to marginalize us. They want believers to be call the enemy. We are the enemy of democracy, they said. I read it on AOL, and I've read it all over the place. We're the enemies of democracy. We are just diehard believers in God, and they don't want any part of it. That party has a group of legislators called the squad. That squad is supporters of Hamas. They are supporters of radical Islam. They themselves participate in radical Islam. And if you don't know what radical Islam wants, then you are foolish. It's like people said, well, Black Lives Matter. And when all that was coming on, people were getting into that. And I said, well, did you read what the website says? Did you read what the website of Black Lives Matter? You know, black lives and Hispanic lives and all matter. And the idea was great. And they're part of that is truth. But their website didn't have a whole lot of truth in it. The website, they had to do whatever it needed to do to bring destruction. They had no problem destroying property. They had no problem storming or whatever. My friends, we can't just get so enamored with you know, whatever. It could be me enamored with a Puerto Rican savior. After all, Puerto Rican. I mean, it's going to be awesome, Puerto Rican savior or Cuban savior. You know, the Cuban savior and the Puerto Rican savior are going to get all the votes in South Florida. And get into focus on that. That's not a savior because it's not but one anyway. And second of all, if they're not saying what God is saying, it's baloney, bologna. And we have been eating a lot of bologna as far as the country is concerned. And it's time to stop eating bologna. And let's start eating some real meat that what's in the Word of God. The platform of the party that its leading candidate, it's a beautiful black lady. The platform, more and more abortion. Abortion that goes beyond the baby coming. You know, it used to that the doctor had to do the final killing of the baby while they were still inside her so that it would not be murder. And now it doesn't matter. Even if it's a day later, you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? Even a day later, since when is that not murder? The same party begun by the other party, they did a number on us with that vaccine stuff. Just continue to watch the number of people who continue to die. Continue to watch the young people, young athletes, some of the best athletes in the world, some of the best African-American athletes in the world had fallen dead. And they have heart conditions. What? What are the issues? What does that party want? Well, they want abortion on demand. They want abortion to go beyond the boundaries. You can do it 2 days later. I mean, what's the difference between 2 days and a month later? Well, what's the difference between a month later and a year later? I just don't like the child is killing. It's just, you know, I have a right to kill him because he came from me. Baloney. There is no boundary when it comes to marriage. Marriage is anybody can get married. It doesn't matter that God said man and woman. And that doesn't matter. So that's over and done with. So the family is destroyed. Children are to be indoctrinated, even when they're small, so that they get confused about their gender. And if they decide that they want to have a gender change, they don't have to get the parents' consent. Anymore, this is the same baloney that was there back 40, 50 years ago. The same thing, except that it's worse. That's what it would be imposed here. No, let's be friends with Hamas. Let's get rid of the Jewish people, because that's what it's all about. Hamas is about getting rid of the Jewish people. Why do you want to get rid of the Jewish people? Because they're gods. Because they're gods. I don't have to say anything else. They're gods. He said they were the smallest. They didn't deserve anything. But I chose you to make a point to the whole world. And you have a responsibility as Jewish people to bring light to the world. They have. Maybe it's envy, because the number of Nobel laureates, it's the number of Jews outnumbers any other ethnic group by a lot. Oh, that's because, you know, in Germany, the bankers and those who had quite a bit of money were the Jewish people. Let's get rid of them, but the getting rid of them is secondary to the first agenda, which is let's take their money and their stuff. And don't be fooled, Because that same agenda exists for us. Because that agenda is driven by Satan. And Satan doesn't want any part of any of God's people, whether they're called Jews or they're called grafted in Jews. Doesn't make any difference. And believers don't get it. Once again, the outcome of this election is in the hands of the body of Messiah. And in the majority of cases, the body of Messiah doesn't want to do it because they say, oh, politics has nothing to do with the gospel. Well, I don't know what gospel they're reading. I don't know what book of Acts they're reading, okay? I have no idea what it is that people call Christianity that devoid of fighting for the rights of this minority. Do you think that happened in the book of Acts was just because they look funny? It wasn't because they look funny, it's because they talk funny. They talk something different than the state. They talk something different than what the country wanted. And therefore, they became the targets. So now we are, according to a lot of people in the body of Messiah, we're supposed to zip it. What do you think the word church comes from? What's the word church in the Greek? Ecclesia. Check it out. I dare you, check it out. Check it out and find out what it is that it means. Because it means a governing body. The Lord entrusted his ecclesia in Matthew chapter 16 and then in Matthew chapter 28. And he said the gates of hell would not stand against his ecclesia. But if the ecclesia chooses in its own right to zippo and say nothing and do nothing, because that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to just let it all happen. No, we wouldn't have a country if that was the ecclesia of the Revolutionary War. Let me just say again, you haven't read. You're ignorant. America, you're ignorant. See if not the so many pastors. There are plenty of things about pastors saying, I'm taking up the arms right now in the midst of the service. Get his rifle and walk off and go fight. Instead, we have enough of me. So, we keep that up. Then there's really no fight. There's no nothing. Because if we give up our space, if we give up our authority, if we don't enforce the word of God of the kingdom of heaven that is at hand right now, it was there when Yeshua came. Did it go away with him? We're supposed to be fighters for the kingdom, for goodness sakes. I'm not apologizing at all for being excited. Three times a year shall all you males are to appear before Adonai. Ladies, you're welcome. This leaves room for you. For you, it's not a necessity because sometimes you have things you have to do, like the children and so on. But for the male, there's no exemption. Three times a year shall all you males appear before Adonai Elohim in the place he chooses, which is in Jerusalem at the Feast of Matzot, the Feast of Shavuot and the Feast of Sukkot. There it is. The Feast of Matzot is 7 days. The Feast of Sukkot is 8 days. And the Feast of Shavuot is 1 day, but generally it was observed 2. No one, speaking to the male, should appear before Adonai empty-handed. The gift of each man's hand, according to the blessing of Adonai. Ah, what does it mean, the gift of each man's hand? For me, it was the gift of teaching electrical engineering at the University of Florida. I could do it good, too. say, oh, you have, you think you're something. Well, no, I'm not, think I'm anything. I did win a few awards here and there. Teacher of the year, the university, you know, those kind of things. But that's okay. Don't worry about that. The gift of each man's hand. What is that? The work of my hands. And if I get paid money for that, then it's the money that came out of the work of my hands. According to the blessing of Adonai, your God has given you. Let me also look at the maftir for this parashat. What is the maftir for our current parashat? Are you ready? Because I'm ready for you. It comes from Deuteronomy 21, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, grant atonement for your people, Israel, whom you have redeemed, Adonai. And do not put innocent blood on your people, Israel. Father God, grant atonement to Kolsem Messianic Congregation. And do not impute upon Kolsem Messianic Congregation the sin of spilling innocent blood, as our country has done since the 60s. Peradventure, somebody here could testify at some point, and you don't know because we don't tell you, and they don't tell you either. But then you know that they did that and they were forgiven. But you can ask them how they feel 40 years later or 50 years later. They know they're forgiven. They know it was okay. They know that they made a mistake. But you can ask them how they feel about it. How's it feel to, as a mom, how's it feel for you as a woman? How's it feel for you as a mom to have cut off children? How's it feel? He said, well, I didn't do it. Well, did you take birth control pills? Oh, Rabbi, come on now. Come on now, Rabbi. What do birth control pills do? They kill the fetus, no matter what size it is. That's birth control. In the final analysis, all of that is, look, you, once the stuff that God had in a man and a woman get together and conceive an egg, you're either going to starve it to death or you're just going to, which is really what they do. And the medication dislodges that which is already conceived from its source of food. So you starve to death the kid. Maybe you didn't take any birth control pills. My wife and I are guilty of such until we understood. Then we cried our hearts out for that which he did before the Lord that was wrong. That's quiet around here. Grant atonement, your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, like us. And do not put innocent blood on your people Israel, on your congregation, Kol Simcha. Then atonement will be granted for them for the blood. We need atonement for that. We didn't have any abortions. But there was a time that Mr. Wimpo here, super Wimpo, super, super Wimpo, honey, take that. We sure don't want any babies that we're not planning for. No matter how sick she would get, no matter how all that's going on in her, but hey, sweetheart, you suffer it so I don't get a baby we don't need or want. I'm the only sinner around here. I'm the only sinner around here. So you will, verse 9, will purge the guilt of innocent blood from your midst. You'll do that when you do what is right in Adonai's sight. My friends, we better do what's right in Adonai's sight come November. We better do what's right. Better do what's right. We better do what's right. So that the guilt, that's what the Bible says right here. So that the guilt of innocent blood will not be crying our name too. This is the blood of abortion, among other kinds of blood, but it's for sure the blood of abortion. And these two countries in the world that supposedly are led by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel and the United States lead the way. In fact, 5 years ago, when I was in Israel, they had the number of abortions that Israel has done, and it was in the 60 million. And Israel's about yay big. I mean, there's... Now, before we start getting self-righteous around here, what's our number? Oh, no, not only that, but who exports that stuff? Where is that stuff, contraceptives and what have you? Who is the largest exporter of that? Who is the larger maker of that? Is it not Big Pharma in our country? Is it not Big Pharma in our country? And it just goes and it's funded by the government. Isn't that wonderful? You can have it free. No cost to you to take abortion pills, to have abortions, or to take their vaccines. Let me read so I get off my stage here. But let me also say that in this parashat, we introduced to a system of justice and leadership. That word leadership is fully misunderstood. Some of us who were in the military have somewhat of an idea what that is. And I don't know how many others do. Mainly, the system of justice and leadership in Israel were judges, Levites, kings, prophets, the military. The military. The military. What do you mean? Adonai claims the military as part of the system of justice. What are you talking about? You have not read. You have not read. You have not read. You have not read. 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 The military is not independent of Adonai. Part of Adonai. Specific, even gives who to draft and all that stuff. In this portion, this one for this week, he establishes many principles that are fundamental to the governing of his people. Here's one principle in this chapter, in this parashat. By the word of two or three witnesses shall all things be established. Oh, we thought that Yeshua came up with that. By the word of two or three witnesses. Deuteronomy 17:6. Yeshua thought that was a pretty good principle because he himself emphasized it in Matthew 18:16. Okay? And not to be outdone, the Apostle Paul also emphasized it twice. In 2 Corinthians 13:1 and 1 Timothy 5:19. How much trouble do you think that we would avoid if we follow the two or three witness principle? Or is it that this is us? Here comes imaginary person. So I don't pick on nobody. So this imaginary guy comes over and says, I need to tell you something. And he starts telling me all about imaginary person sitting right there. And my reaction often is, oh, you sure about that? Oh, yes, I'm sure. Then now I get a little something inside, right? And we'll go see that person and confront him. Where's the second and third witness? Where is the second and third witness? You get ticked off at somebody else in this congregation, and you do it all the time. Because after all, you saints are flesh and blood. And even though you're the saints, you have the same problem Paul was talking about, and he had to get under his flesh and keep it under subjection. So you guys have issues with dealing with the flesh. Paul said so, Yeshua said so, they all said so. And you get all dendered up because somebody said something about somebody. Check it out. Where's the second and third witness? Check it out. Did I come up with that? That's Tony Arroyo's teaching. I'm your Messiah, right? Well, I'm going home this afternoon. You crucified your real Messiah. You're not going to crucify me. Again, what? In the same parashat, in a different chapter, chapter 19, verse 15 says, a single witness shall not rise up against a person for any offense or sins that he commits. By the word of two or three witnesses, a case to be established. By the way, the legal system follows that. You're going to get a conviction. You're going to have more than one. Unless that one is so compelling. And you take a chance. But if you have other witnesses, if you add to the testimony, so you end up with two or three that point the finger at the person, you have a really good chance to win the case. But I don't know anything about that because I'm not a lawyer. Let's just ask DJ. You may every once in a while win a single witness case. Every once in a while, but you're not going to do it often. Because the opposition is going to have two or three witnesses against you. It's going to look like one person versus the other. And then they make that person look like a silly person. Then they'll bring up something. Did you know that person actually does, let's see, let's make something up. He drinks orange Kool-Aid. He must be a traitor because orange Kool-Aid is what Clemson drinks, not what UF drinks. UF drinks orange and blue. Husbands. So let me pick on husbands. I only have one paragraph, and I'm going to read it because I tend to get excited about this one. Husbands sit in a place of authority in their home. They sit in a place of authority. Scripture compares the place of a husband as a king. When it comes to everything? No, when it comes to protection and responsibility. Ooh, responsibility. Ooh. Ooh, ooh. Rabbi? A rabbi get really excited on that word. He could preach a 2 hours on that word, just that word alone. And the lack thereof when it comes to men. Wake up, men, and be responsible. Here's a working of that responsibility. Here's what the Lord has to say about kings in the word. Now, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom or his lazy boy chair in front of the TV to watch the NFL or the Gators or whatever it is, golf, NASCAR, I don't know. He is to write for himself. What? He is to write for himself a copy of this Torah on a scroll. From what is before the Levitical Kohanim. It will remain with him and he will read it all the days of his life. You want to be a husband? In order to learn to fear Adonai his Elohim and keep all the words of his Torah and these statutes, then his heart, the heart of the king, the heart of the husband, will not be exalted above his brothers, and he will not turn from the commandments to the right or to the left, so that he may prolong his days in his kingship. He and his sons in the midst of Israel. Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20. It's in this parashah. It's in this parashah. It's in this parashah. So let me ask all the husbands around here. Do you have a copy of Adonai's Torah? Do you have a copy of Adonai's Torah? You're not sure? I do. I have a TLV Bible. Actually, I have about 20 of them, so it's okay. Do you have a Bible? If you have a Bible, you've got a copy. So that you can read it all the days of your life. In order for you, husband, to learn to fear Adonai your Elohim and keep all the words on his Torah and his statutes. I dare say we have more guns than we have. I dare say we have more beer cans than we have. I dare say we have more tools. Oh, what is it that guys like? All of the above, okay. Well, I've been at it for 42 minutes, so let me read. Since the theme of this week's parashat is leadership, I would like to take this opportunity to remind you of two guiding principles that we, the leaders of this congregation, have. That's not just me. It's myself, the elders, and the shamash. We have more than two, but let me share these two with you. Two items any congregation has to have is the message and the messenger. We have the message. We guard the message. We don't preach from books and that I and other people like. We preach from the Word of God. And number two, the messenger. That talks about me specifically. These are not less critical in Kol Simcha. What do you want to know about me? I'm going to tell you what am I motivated about. What's your number one motivation? I can answer it very quickly. I use two words, balance and integrity. Balance and integrity. Balance and integrity are my two words. I don't want to be misunderstood. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. I strive to live by the things that I preach. That's called integrity. In other words, many of you have visited my house. You're welcome to look around there and see if you find any evidence of out of order things. Because they're not there. Maybe you can get my TV to actually show you channel 20. But it doesn't even show that right now. I don't mind saying, because I myself would be in absolute disarray if I say for you to do something and then I go do the exact opposite. It is not tolerated in the Arroyo home by either Tony or Marilyn. So if she says that you need to pray, does she pray? Hello now. We're not playing games around here. I attempt to stay in a centrist position, that's balance, with respect to any critical issue. Here's what the former IAMCS and MJAA, the third child of the person who started the MJAA, his name is David Chernow. Here's what he said. I believe my position with respect to many things in our ministry is a centrist position. Our theology needs to be moderated by pragmatism and the Holy Spirit. I could not agree more. This comes from a message that he gave called Our Unique Messianic Identity by David Chernow at the IAMCS Rabbis Conference in 2001. But I want to tell you something. The rest of the KS leaders adhere to the same. We don't want to be just people that go in the midst of everything that's going on. We try to stay in the center. Because we're developing a congregation that is not based on anybody else's rules. What is the rule for our congregation? Na'ase venishma. We will do and we will obey what the Lord said. We respect one another's rights here, including the right to disagree. How about that? We respect everybody's right. You have a right to disagree with me. And I'm not going to throw you out of the congregation because you do. If you do. As I have shared in the past, I'm motivated by a character quality, two of them, that I don't possess. I am not a mercy person. So when they named me to the ministry way back when, 1980, I started praying to the Lord, Lord, I ain't got no mercy. But you seem to have a lot. In fact, you say your justice rejoices over mercy. Mercy, 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 all those kind of things. How can I be your representative if I don't have mercy? Well, I've been praying for mercy since 1979. And I have way a lot more now than I did in 1979. And the other one is consideration. Being considerate of one another. I've said this many times here. I have a model for consideration. My wife, Marilyn, and my former professor at the university, Don Childers. The most considerate people I know. Consideration is an application of the golden rule. It was evident in Yeshua. His apostles, his Talmidim, and in Rabbi Shaul, Paul's ministry. Here's a guiding verse. This is one of my guiding verses. I'm speaking my personal kind of stuff here before you. Here it is. But I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me, Adonai. I will walk in my integrity. In conclusion, I want to say the following. Our KS leadership team does not know everything. They're not expected to know everything. We don't claim that we know everything. We don't claim that we have all the understanding of the Torah and everything. I do not claim to be the anointed. I do not claim to be the anointed. There's no such thing come out of my mouth. There's not but one anointed. That's Yeshua. He is the rabbi here. He's the anointed one. You're nothing but a worker. And I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. Somebody said that. I think it's true. However, I also don't fail to recognize that I'm flesh. I'm not just the redeemed Tony here. It's still the Tony flesh. Have you seen it? See how gorgeous it is. I got plenty of it. Therefore, I'm subject to the Romans 6 and 7 struggle. What is the Romans 7 struggle? That which I shouldn't do, I do. I like to elucidate sometime. And that which I should do, I don't do. Then Paul adds something like, what a wretched man I am. King James. It applies right here. Who can deliver me from the curse of this struggle? Chapter 7 ends. Romans. Chapter 8, I thank God that in Messiah Yeshua, you got the rest. In fact, chapter 8 begins the second half of the book of Romans. The first half, 1 through 7, was mostly doctrine. And the second half, from 8 to 16, an exact half, is mostly application. Did you know that? Did you know that? Each of our leadership team members here, myself, the elders, and the Shamash, have admitted before you publicly, we don't have it all. We can make mistakes. In fact, many have shared their personal struggles. But at times, I sense from the congregation some reluctance. Ooh, that's an electrical engineering term. Reluctance. The inverse of, yeah. What's the reluctance? The reluctance, let me just say then, let me use some words you understand. Pushback. Just a little pushback. I like to remind you, give us the space to lead you. Just give us, we give you space too. Absolutely, we give you space. The scripture says that without faith, but the complete Jewish Bible says without trust, it is impossible to please Adonai. That's the complete Jewish Bible, Hebrews 11:6. Without trust. Similarly, without trust, it's impossible for us to lead God's people. Hear what I'm saying. You're going to have to choose. You're going to have to choose. God forbid that we ever, in the smallest way, misuse that trust. God forbid. I assure you, Sam and John, standing right here, are in favor of such. and Gene walking around. He's not just walking around because he's got to pee. So I leave you with the following question. Is it possible? Is it possible that Adonai could be dealing with you through this imperfect leader? Or that one, or that one, or that one, or any of them? Is it possible? Is it possible that Adonai would use? Well, he used some donkey, so I don't get in trouble with my wife. I mean, he can use a donkey, he can use me, okay? So, I think I'm better than a donkey. I'm not an ass. Sam's not an ass. John's not an ass. Gene's not an ass. We're not donkeys. We care for you. This is what we do for the Lord. This is a reasonable service to the Lord. This parish had a lot to say about those leaders. I hope that you will read it. And I hope that you will choose to pray for the leaders that you have. I hope that you would consider that it's not so easy to lead a congregation and lead our family at the same time. In Sam's case, lead a company at the same time. In John's case, manage a company at the same time. Not easy. We signed up for it. So is it possible that God's speaking to me via an imperfect Kol Simcha leader? Well, maybe he is. Shabbat Shalom.